Okay, today is Daf Samach Zayin, Chulin Daf Samach Zayin, the very last Daf of Perek Eilu Trefus. We're sad to see it go, but the very last Daf of Eilu Trefus. So we started a Brisa yesterday that really goes right into today's Daf, and almost the entire today's Daf relates to it. So we're going to backtrack a little bit again, even though it's way back on Samach Vavam Beis, in order to get the whole picture. But I mentioned yesterday that the concept of Yagdil Torah V'Yadu, the Gemara in discussing the Siman of the fish, when it talks about snappy v'kas keses, so the metzias is that as long as it has scales, it definitely has fins. So the Gemara wanted to know, why does the Torah have to even tell me about snappy, or just tell me kas keses? So the Gemara's answer was a very strange answer. It said, Yagdil Torah v'yadir. So does that mean to say that the Torah is going to include extra words completely unnecessarily just to make the Torah bigger? So the Mishnah Achrona, one of the Perushim on the standard edition of the Mishnayos, says that this is very similar to a concept we have in the Gemara of Milsa Da'asya B'Kal V'Chomer Tarech V'Kas V'Lakra, that sometimes even something that can be derived from a Kal V'Chomer Tarech V'Kas V'Lakra, the Torah will say it anyway, will say it explicitly anyway, because we hear also this is something we would have known anyhow, but nevertheless the Torah says it. The problem with that comparison is that when it is Tarech V'Kas V'Lakra, the Prima Gadim writes in Psicha Kolelas, there may be differences between that which is written explicitly in the Torah and that which is learned, that which is derived from a Kal V'Chomer. So while it's true the basic halacha is Asya B'Kal V'Chomer, when it is Tarech V'Kas V'Lakra, it's not completely extra. Over here it seems to be completely extra, that there's no reason whatsoever for it to say snappier. But you do find that Tosos in a few places in Shas will tell you that sometimes it's Lahagdil Torah Lahadir by Tanoim and Amoraim. You'll find that the Tanoim and Amoraim will say extra things, Lahagdil Torah V'yadir Lahadir, the Tosim Sachem Daf Mem Zayin and Beis, but the Kamadav Beis of Men Aleph and Daf Hem and Beis. You find it a few times, but to say that the Torah just has extra words is very, very difficult. So in the Shailos Tshuvos, Halachos Ketanos, Chelik Aleph, Simin Reishon Ches, and Chelik Beis Simin Hey, he writes that the Torah definitely is not writing complete extra words, and there has to be a Chiddush Din in the fact that it mentions Snapir also. There must be some Chiddush Din. So perhaps the Chiddush Din is that when you have a fish that's presented to you, and it has scales on it, but it doesn't have fins, so maybe the Chiddush Din is that you should be Bodek to make sure that those scales actually grew on that fish and were not shed from another fish that just landed on that fish, meaning it's a red flag. If you don't see fins, that's something to investigate a little bit further, and maybe that's the halacha that the pasuk is teaching me when it tells me that kosher fish have fins and scales. Or maybe the Chiddush Din is that, says the Halachos Ketanos, is that we are only machshir a dog that has fins that it uses to swim. But if a min dog, a type of fish that doesn't have fins that it uses to swim, it's more like yadayim v'raglayim that it uses to crawl with, that would not have a din of a snapir. Let's say turtle's arms or something, even though it hangs out in the water a lot, but it's clearly not fins and wouldn't have a din of snapir. In the Lev Aryeh, one of the Achronim, he has the following Chakiru. When we say that a snapir v'kaskeses is what makes a fish kosher, does that mean that a snapir v'kaskeses is a simin of what a kosher fish is? Or that it's a siba, that's what makes the fish kosher, that it's from the snapir v'kaskeses that the fish derives its actual kashrus from? That's the pashup shot, it's a simin. A salmon is kosher because a salmon is kosher. Now, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu show us that a salmon is kosher? By putting snapir v'kaskeses, that's the simin that it's kosher. But says the Lev Aryeh, he thinks it's the other way. He thinks that the snapir v'kaskeses is the siba, and he says that's what it means, lahagdil Torah lahadir, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have just told us, look, if it has scales, that's a simin, you know that's a kosher fish. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reveal to us the siba that it's kosher. And the snapir is not the only, the kaskeses is not the only siba that it's kosher. The snapir is also part of the siba that it's kosher. So he gives us the entire, both reasons for it to be kosher, both of the causes of the fish being kosher. In the Sefer Nachal Eshkol, quoted by the Charmant Tzion Baalach over here, Chelek Gimel, Simen Chav Gimel, Os Chav Hei, he quotes comes from the Magen Avraham that at the end of Maseches Makos, the Gemara tells us that Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael L'ficha Chirblem Torah Mitzvah Shneimer Yagdil Torah V'Yadir, that he uses this pasuk Yagdil Torah V'Yadir in the context of why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us so many mitzvos, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir, in order to enhance and increase the Torah. And Rashi explains that it's said dafka in the context of the Yisra of Shratzim. Shratzim are something that by definition most people don't want to eat. They're disgusting. So we wouldn't eat them anyway. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us extra schar by making a mitzvah that you're not supposed to, that you're not supposed to eat them. So he says, maybe the Makshan over here knew that there is a dog that is somehow, that is a poisonous fish that has scales but doesn't have fins. So we always assume, the Gemara says, that anything that has scales for sure has fins. Maybe there's one dog, I don't know if he knew of a dog, that has scales, doesn't have fins, but it's a poisonous fish, no one would ever eat it anyway. It would kill you. But lahagdil Torah lahadir, the Torah wanted to make it a requirement that it has to have fins also, to dafka include that fish as well. Okay, that's a lahagdil Torah lahadir. Now let's try to blitz through to the end of the parak. So again, let's go pick up again from the Braisa, just because it's all one Indian. So Tan Rabbanan, all the way back on more than halfway up in some Chavim Beis. Tan Rabbanan, Mimash Mishnemar Echol Sheishlo Shomeani Al Tochal Sheinlo. When the Torah tells me that I can eat that which has fins and scales, I already know that I cannot eat that which does not have fins and scales. Mimash Mishnemar Al Tochal Sheinlo Shomeani Echol Sheishlo. When the Torah tells me not to eat that which does not have fins and scales, I already know that I can eat that which does have fins and scales. So why does the Torah tell me both? Torah says Kol Asher Ein Lo Snapir V'Kaskeses Bayam V'Nechalim Mikol Sheretz Hamayim Mikol Nefesh Chaya Shemayim Sheketz Eim Lechem. Torah tells me not to eat that which doesn't have Snapir V'Kaskeses, and that is right after the Torah just told me as Zetochel Mikol Asher Bamayim Kol Asher Lo Snapir V'Kaskeses Bamayim Bayam V'Nechalim Osam Tocheilu. Right after it tells me that I do eat that which does have Snapir V'Kaskeses. So Lavar Lavase V'Los Hasei. It's just to make it that you violated Naseya and the Los Hasei if you violate this Isser. Tochelu, the pasuk says, as ze tochlu, this you can eat. What's tochlu? Tochlu mikol asher b'mayim, from all that is within the water. Matam lam, what's it telling me? Sheyachol, I might have thought. Hoil v'hiter b'mufurish v'hiter b'stam. Since the Torah explicitly is matir shratzim, things that don't have fins and scales, that grow in kalim. And it's matir b'stam, not b'mufurish, things that don't have fins and scales, shratzim, that grow in kalim. So I'm meaning essentially the psukim themselves give me two heterim for shratzim, things that do not have fins and scales, that grow in water, that are in kalim. So where do we find any heterim for such things? Because the Torah says, as ze tochlu mikol asher b'mayim, that the following things you can eat that grow in the water, es sheyesh lo snapir v'kaskeses b'mayim b'yam. That which has snapir v'kaskeses in these types of waterways, there's a halacha that you need snapir v'kaskeses. Implication being that if it didn't grow in these types of waterways, it grew in a kli, you don't need snapir v'kaskeses. There's no such halacha. And then on the flip side, when it tells me kol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeses b'yamim u'b'nechalim, again it tells me that when something doesn't have snapir v'kaskeses and it's in yamim u'nechalim, you're not allowed to eat it. That implies if it's in kalim, I am allowed to eat it. So both of those are a tatum. One of the Gemara today is going to deal with which one is considered stam, which one is considered mufurish, but both are derived from psukim. So makshit mufurish lo hiter el bekelim, afkshit b'stam lo hiter el bekelim. Just like when it's mufurish, it's only in kalim, water from kalim, that the shratzim grow in, so that it's going to be kosher. So too, when it's hiter b'stam, it's also only bekelim. Minayin l'rabos boros shichlu ma'aros shoshocha v'shosim an ve'nunim. Now, how do I know that if you have boros shichlu ma'aros, you're allowed to bend down and drink from it, and you don't have to worry about the shratzim that are in the boros shichlu ma'aros? You don't have to check to make sure that you're not drinking any shratzim. Tamalom tochlu mikol asher b'mayim. That's a pasuk. That's the riboy of tochlu kol asher b'mayim. So heichin hiter b'kelim. Where do we find that there's actually a heter of shratzim that grow inside of kelim? D'chsiv ezet tochlu mikol asher b'mayim v'gomer. B'yamim l'chalim hu d'chiyis le'achol l'as le'lo techol. Simple diak. if the living creatures are in yamim unuchalim, that's when you need fins and scales. And if it doesn't have fins and scales, it's aser. But habikelim afakav v'lesleyachal. The pasuk doesn't say anything about living creatures in kelim. So the implication is that these rules don't apply to living creatures in kelim, and therefore, even if it doesn't have fins and scales, you're allowed to eat it. So ema bekelim afakav v'yisleil lo techol. Well, how do you know that the diuk is to be made l'kula? Maybe the diuk should be made l'chumra, that which grows in yamim unchalim needs fins and scales to be kosher, but if it has fins and scales, it is kosher. Maybe the diuk should be, but that which grows in kelim, even if it has fins and scales, is not going to be kosher. So those al kadai d'chsiv kol asher ein lo snaver v'kasas yamim unchalim kol asher tamayim. That's why we have the second pasuk that tells me that anything that doesn't have fins and scales is not kosher, but yamim unchalim the less they lo techel. Where the diuk is, it dafka says in yamim unchalim if it doesn't have fins and scales, it's not kosher. The implication clearly being habekelim afagav de leslei achol, that if it's in kelim, even if it doesn't have fins and scales, you'd still be allowed to eat it. So frankly, Gemara, but maybe we should make the drasha as follows. And again, we're not rejecting anything we just said, other than the fact that we only included kelim, and then we said baruch shichlu ma'aros also, that you're allowed to be shocha v'shosa from them. So says the Gemara, how do you know which waterways to include in yamim and nechalim, and which ones to exclude? Meaning, yamim and nechalim have these rules, that any living thing has to have fins and scales, otherwise forget about it. Outside of yamim and nechalim, something that's less than yamim and nechalim, like kelim, but maybe not only kelim, even if it doesn't have fins and scales, it's going to be kosher. So ve'ema b'mayim klal, b'yamim and nechalim prat, klal prat, yamim nechalim mashar prat, yamim nechalim in, ni'itzin v'charitzin lo. Maybe it's only kelim, maybe ni'itzin v'charitzin, little cracks in the ground and things like that, ditches, you would have all the rules of requiring fins and scales. So b'mayim chazur klal says Gemara no, but then we have another word b'mayim, which is another klal added on in the end. So you have klal pradu klal. So frankly Gemara, but wait a second. Klal pradu klal normally works when the klal comes first, then the prat, then the klal. What do we have? We have b'yamim. We said b'mayim is klal, b'yamim nechalim is prat. Now we're saying the other b'mayim is klal, but the other b'mayim comes before the b'yamim nechalim. Pasuk says zetochu mikol asher b'mayim. And then b'yamim u'b'nechalim. How could you call that a klal prat or klal? So b'mayim. So hani trei klal d'smichu adadininu. Those two klalim are right next to each other. It's a klal u'klal u'prat, where there is no such thing. So says Gemara. I'm a ravina. Kedam b'marava called makom shatamotei shnei klalos asmuchin zelazeh. Whenever you find two klalos that are samuch to each other, that are close to each other, the halach is hatel prat beinayim v'donim klal prat u'klal. You're allowed to pretend that the prat is in between them and treat them like a regular klal and prat klal, and therefore b'mayim klal b'yamim nechalim prat b'mayim chazur klal. So it's a regular klal prat klal, and what's the rule? Klal prat klal yatadon elakan prat. So it's so that the rules of requiring fins and scales are in all waterways that are similar to yamim nechalim ma prat mefurish mayim novim. So just like yamim nechalim are well springs of water, afkal mayim novim, only those types of waterways that are well springs would have this requirement of needing fins and scales in order to be kosher. But anything that's not a wellspring, like chritzin, ni'itzin, these little crevices in the ground, even if you have shratzim, you're allowed to eat from them. It's not only kelim. So my rabbi, what are we including in the heter of shratzim? Charitzin, uni'itzin, I'm sorry, in the iser, what are we saying needs fins and scales? What are we including as similar to yamim unchalim? Charitzin uni'itzin li'isura. The ponds and canals, charitzin uni'itzin, they're usher if they don't have fins and scales. The shratzim in those things are usher. Umay miyet, but what are we excluding? What are we saying is not similar to yamim unchalos, and therefore would be mutter to have the shratzim, would be like kelim. Wells and ditches and caves, all of those things, they don't have a wellspring, and mele, they're all mutter. The shratzim in them is all mutter. So, frankly, Gemara, ve'ema ma prat mufurish mayim gedelim al gabi karka af kol mayim gedelim al gabi karka. But wait a second. Maybe, just like the yamim unchalim are gedelim al gabi karka, we should only include that which is gadol al gabi karka, umay rabbi, and therefore what should be included should be more expansive, meaning what should be included in the requirement of fins and scales, afilu bar shichnu maros liyisura. They're also gedelin al gabe karka, so they should also be included in the requirement of fins and scales, and therefore it should be us to have the shratzim that do not have fins and scales from bar shichnu maros as well. Umay miyet, then what are we excluding? Miyet kalim. We're excluding only kalim, meaning we learned, we know clearly, yamun chalos, you need fins and scales. We know clearly that there's something that doesn't need fins and scales, because the Torah tells me that in yamun chalim there's a requirement of fins and scales. So the question is, how many things, how many types of waterways do not need fins, do the creatures that grow in it not need fins and scales? Is it more expansive, the way the Gemara originally suggested, that even Baruch Shichnum Aros, the creatures that grow in it do not need fins and scales? Or is it very, very limited, what the Gemara is suggesting now? Maybe it's only Kalim. Anything other than Kalim, the creatures that grow in it, will need fins and scales. So says Gemara, in Kain, Tochlu Maya Hanilei. What would the word Tochlu coming to be teaching me if it only meant that by Kalim, you don't need fins and scales? As Rashi says, Tochlu Maya Hanilei, Bilavi Unami Kalim Lo Mitzri. Kalim anyway would have been also, even without the word Tochlu, Dalo Domulu Prat Bimidi, because it's not at all similar to the Prat. Meaning we would never have included Kalim in the Pasuk, because Klal Prat Klal would have taught me to exclude Kalim from the requirement of fins and scales. Elalav tochlu l'mishri boros asa. So it must be tochlu is coming to be matir boros. And to tell me that we're only including in the pasuk that which is very similar to yamim unuchalos, not that which is gedelim al gabe karka, but it has to be very similar in the sense that it's mayim novim as well, that it has to be a wellspring, whereas boroshich namaros are not a wellspring, and therefore they're not included in the pasuk. Fine, that's the first price. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Debei Rabbi Shmuel learned it as follows. B'mayim, b'mayim shtei pa'amim. It says b'mayim in the pasuk twice. Ein zeklal prat, el ribo miyet. The way to learn this pasuk is not with the methodology of klal prat, rather it's with the methodology of ribo miyet. It's and we know the difference. Rashi spells it out for us. The difference between klal prat versus ribo miyet. So Rashi writes, if you look in the fifth line or sixth line of the Rashi Dibur Masl B'mayim B'mayim Beis Pabim, he says V'iko Ben Ribo Miyet L'Klal Prat. There is a difference between the two methodologies of drasha. D'chidarshinan Klal Prat have a prat perusho shel klala. Whenever you learn a klala prat, the prat is the explanation of the klal. Ve'ein b'klal ela masha b'prat va'afilu davar adom alo ein l'chala havi. That generally speaking, the klal only includes what it says in the prat, and we don't even bring other things that are similar to it. Ukeshekala l'cha klal sheni achar prat. But then when the second klal comes in, after the prat, that helps us bring in, include in the din, even things that are similar to the prat. Meaning essentially, when you have a klalu prat, so what do we include? Only the prat itself exactly. But then comes a second klal and tells me that I could include in that pasuk not only the prat itself, but even things that are similar to the prat. Aval kidashirin ribo miyet. But when you have a riboy and miyot, we don't assume that the miyot is the explanation of the riboy. Riboy and miyot, the miyot is coming to limit just how far the riboy is going to go. With a riboy and miyot, even without riboy and miyot, riboy, just riboy and miyot, we already know all, not just the miyot itself, but all those things that are similar to the miyot. Even without the second riboy, we're already including everything that's similar to the miyot. So then what does the riboy sheni come to do? It comes to include everything. And the miyot only comes to exclude that which is totally the opposite of the miyot, that which is not similar to the miyot at all. So at the end of the day, klalu pratu klal comes to include anything that's similar to the prat. Riboy miyot riboy comes to include everything except for that which is most dissimilar to the miyot. So the Tanna Dabei Rabbi Shmuel says, b'mayim mayim shtei pa'amim is not klal prat, rather it's riboy miyot. B'mayim riba, b'yam unuchal miyet, b'mayim chazav riba, riba miyet v'riba, riba akol. So it's a riba miyet v'riboy. So we come to include everything. everything in the rule of requiring fins and scales. That when do creatures need fins and scales in order to be kosher in water? With all types of waterways, except for the miyut itself, except for the exact opposite of the miyut, the exact opposite of yam munuchalos. So my Rabbi, what are we including in the requirement of fins and scales? Charitzin uniitzin liisura, to tell me that if it doesn't have fins and scales, it's asur. Umay miyut, what are we excluding? Baruch Maros Latera. Baruch Maros, they're considered to be the exact opposite of Yam Munchalos. So therefore, if it doesn't a creature that doesn't have fins and scales and Baruch Maros is going to be mutter. So frankly, Gemara, Ema my Riba Baruch Maros Lisuro my Miyad Miyad Kalim. Wait a second, isn't that Riboy Miyad Riboy excluding a little too much? Shouldn't we say that the Riboy Miyad Riboy only excludes that which is the exact opposite of the miyot, and that should be kalim. Baruch Maros are still somewhat similar to yam munchalos. Kalim are the most dissimilar to yam munchalos. So says Mar, im kain tochlu mayahani le. But then, what do you do with the word tochlu? So you have no choice. You have to say that it's coming to that, meaning tochlu can't be coming to teach me that you don't need fins and scales and kalim, because I already know that from riba mir riboy. So it must be that tochlu is coming to include something else. It must be coming to include boros and to tell me that boros shichun maros are also like kalim in that the shrotzim that grow in them do not require fins and scales. Frek the gemara ve'epochana. Why don't we switch it around though? Why don't we flip it and say that tochlu comes to be matir charitzin and the riboy is l'rabuye boros, meaning instead of saying that baroshich and ma'aros do not require fins and scales and niitzin charitzin do, why don't you flip it around? So it says Marika Titani, because over here we never gave a reason for it. We never said anything about mayim novim. That was all reason to say that charitzin niitzin are usser without fins and scales because it's mayim novim. It's similar to yamun chalos. But in this price of Tandaber Yishron, we never said that. So ve'epachana, why don't we switch around? Tani Matisya, like Matisya learned. The Tani Matisya Bar Yehuda, my Risa the Rabbis Baruch Shichna Maros Lateru Lahotzichritz and Nitzin Lisura. Why do we assume that shrotzim that grow in Baruch Shichna Maros are going to be kosher, and shrotzim that grow in Chritzim Nitzin are aser? Marvani Baruch Shichna Maros Shein Atzurim BeKelim. Baruch Shichna Maros are contained within Kelim. Umotzi Ani Chritzim Nitzin Shein Atzurim BeKelim. As opposed to Chritzim Nitzin that are not contained in Kelim, meaning it's Mayim Novim. It's more of a wellspring of water that's always coming out, like we said in the first Braisa. Now, going back to the first Braisa, we had mentioned that the heter for shrotzim that grow in non-yamim nuchalos, that shrotzim that don't have fins and scales are mutter, is learnt out from two different psukim. One is sasum and one is mefurush. The only thing is, hey sasum, and we pointed out what the two psukim were. The pasuk tells me that you're allowed to eat that which has fins and scales in yamun chalos implies that the need for fins and scales is only in yamun chalos. But if it's not in yamun chalos, you don't need fins and scales. And pasuk tells me you're not allowed to eat that which doesn't have fins and scales in yamun chalos. Teaches me that if it doesn't have fins and scales in other waterways, then it would be okay. Which one of those is sasum? Which one is mufurish? Hey sasum, hey mufurish. Pligav ravacha ravina, machlokz ravacha ravina. Chadam rigeish lo mufurish ve'ein lo sasum. The pasuk about having fins and scales is considered mefurush. The pasuk about the isser of not having fins and scales is considered sasum. The other one says the opposite. My time demand the amri yeshlo mefurush. Why would you assume that the pasuk about having fins and scales is mefurush? Amr lecha minehu the kamishtaru kelim. It's only from that pasuk that we know that that kelim are mutter, because we explained before that that had it not been for that pasuk, we would not have known to exclude kelim. So frankly, my time in the mandi amrei lo mufurush. Why would you say that ain lo mufurush? The hayhu the kamucha chehech, because it's only in that second pasuk about the fish that don't have fins and scales that it's muchach what the first pasuk was talking about. Because remember, we read it earlier today on Samuk Vavim Beis. Had I only had the first pasuk, I would have said, you're right, things that are not in Yam Menuchalos that grow in Kalim are different. But I would not have known that it's different leheter, that if it grows in kalim and doesn't have fins and scales, it's mutter. I might have thought it's different leiser, that if it grows in kalim, even if it does have fins and scales, it's aser. The only reason I know it's leheter is because of the second pasuk. And therefore, the second pasuk must be the one that's mefurish. So I'm Rav Huna. Now, period. That's the end of the last of that discussion. Now, new discussion. I'm Rav Huna. Lo lishbi in the shichra b'tzav yasa b'orta. A person should not sift their beer over wood chips at night. Dilman parish le'el mitzav yasa. They used to make beer out of dates, and in dates sometimes there are insects. So a date that's inside an insect, no, an insect that's inside a date is could potentially be usur if it's sharetz ala aretz, if it ever crawls on the ground. So if it's in the date the entire time, it grew in the date after the date was picked, so then you could eat it, it's not a problem. But if it ever has an opportunity to be sharetz ala aretz, it's going to be a problem. So if you're pouring out the beer over these wood chips to sift it, so what might happen? So Dilma Parish La'el Mitzav Yasa, the worm is going to get on the wood chips, that's going to be considered crawling on the ground, V'had Nafal Kasa, then it will fall into your beer, you're going to see it in your beer the next day and say, oh, it's no problem, it's straight from the date, it never crawled on the ground, I could drink it. V'havi Ovo Mishum Sharetz HaSharetz Al Aretz, and then it's going to be a violation of Sharetz HaSharetz Al Aretz. So you have to worry about such a thing. So, Rashi says, Shichra Shel Tamarim Hu Mitsuyin Ben Talayim, Rashi says. It's common to find Talayim in Shichra Shel Tamarim, in beer made out of dates. That's what Rabban writes, Ma'achol Sassurus Perek Beis Halacha Tezvav, that Lefichach Kol Minei Pero Shedarkan La'atliya K'shein Mechubarin Lo Yochol Ad Sheyivdo Kapri Mitoch HaShem Yesh Betolas. Anytime there's a reasonable chance that there's sharet sharet al aretz inside your fruit, you may not eat that fruit until you check the fruit. Reasonable chance, the Rambam says. That's the Rashi writes in the Tshuva, that any time it's matzui bo that there's an iser, you're not allowed to eat it until you check it. You're choshish misafek, as opposed to Rashi. Rashi quotes that Rashi holds that you're not choshish unless you know that it was matliya. Unless you know that it's wormy, then you're choshish to try to figure out when the worm came in. But if you don't know that it's wormy, you don't have to assume that it's wormy. The Rashi in Taurus Abayis brings rayas against Rashi. Rashi has a raya from Gemara earlier in Daf Nun Ches that the Gemara had said that Hani Chamra Dekada, Rashi says that if it got wormy and you don't know if it was b'mechubar or b'talush, so that's when you have to start to worry about it. So the implication is only if it got wormy and you're not sure about what the nature of those worms are, you have to worry about it. Rashi says that's absolutely untrue. Even if you don't know that it's wormy, but it's common for it to be wormy, you need to check for it. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Yardeya Simen Samach Dal Tziv Ches, Kol Minei Pero Shedarkan La'atliya K'shein Mechubarin Lo Yochal Ad Sheyivdo Kapri Mitochan Shem Yesh Botolas. If it's normal for it to have bugs in it, so you're not allowed to eat until you check to see whether it has bugs in it. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan says, what does it mean normal? Normal mean rove. So in Simen Ayin Beis, Aruch HaShulchan says, no. Even if it's just a minority of those fruits that have bugs, but it's a miyot, hamatzui. It's a minority, but it's a fairly commonly found minority, then you would still have to look for it. That's a very important klal in all of halacha. That when do you have to check for things? When it's a miyot hamatzui, there's a problem. By shatness, if you buy a suit, and it's a Ralph Lauren suit, and you call up the shatness people, and you say, how many Ralph Lauren suits have you checked? And they tell you, we checked 1,000 of them. How many had shatness? They'll tell you, none. You don't have to check your suit for shatness then. It's not a miyot hamatzui. They'll tell you five. You still don't have to check your suit for shatness. It's not a miyot hamatzui. It would have to be a fairly commonly found problem in order to have a requirement to look for it. Okay, that's the discussion about checking tefillin. Is that a miyot hamatzui, that there are problems in tefillin that you need to actually check them? Okay, so anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, ihachi, if that's going to be a concern, that you can be over mishum sharetz hasharetz al haaretz b'mananami demel parash l'dafn demanam v'hadunaf l'mana, then you shouldn't even be able to pour the beer into a kli, because maybe the worm would get onto the side of the kli, and that's going to be considered sharetz al haaretz, and then it's going to get into the kli, and then you're not going to realize. So asam hayin rabbi say, no, over there it's normal. That's not considered being sharetz al haaretz, because the beer is supposed to be in a kli. Umina temra. How do you know that's true? The tiny minayin rabbis baruch shichin amar shoshach v'shosim en veda nimna, because we learned in the brisa that you're allowed to drink straight out of baruch shichin ma'aros. You don't have to worry about the shratzim. Tamalom tochum mikol hashar b'mayim. I v'leichash dulma parish l'dafna v'adun nafil. Shouldn't you worry that in the baruch shichin ma'aros the worms or the shratzim got onto the sides of the baruch shichin ma'aros and they weren't in the water the whole time? Ella hein rabbi say, no, must be that since that's normal, it's considered that it's in the water the whole time. So achanami hein rabbi say, when you pour beer from one kli to another kli, it's considered that it's in the beer the whole time, that it's in the date the whole time. I'll bring you a raya. That comes to include even the types of little bugs that are found in wine that's been strained. Time of the sinanan. So it sounds like only if it's strained it's a problem. Halo sinanan shari. If it's not strained, you can pour from one kli to another, and you don't have to worry about it at all, even though it could be that those little bugs crawled along the walls of the kli. Amr Shmuel. Shmuel says a chiddush. Kishos shetlia. If you have cucumbers that have become wormy, be'i beha, while they were still attached to the ground, asur mishum sharet sharet al aretz. That's awesome because sharet sharet al aretz, because as long as they're attached to the ground, it's still considered the aretz. Leim misayele detani chad al aretz al tiyat saziz and shabad ashem esay tushim shebe kalisim vitala shem tamar mishabe grogros. We have one brisa that says that Allah Aretz comes to exclude that which grows inside the fruits, inside the chickpeas, inside the figs, inside the dates, meaning that all those things would be mutter. That the shratzim that grow inside fruits are aser, they're included in the iser, not excluded. So my lavi dividi bepira, aren't both of them talking about where you find the worms in the fruit itself, and vahabi beva shalabi beva? What's the difference between the two brises? One is where it grows inside the fruit while it's still attached to the ground, and one is where it only starts to grow inside the fruit once it's detached from the ground. When it's attached to the ground, it's going to be a problem with sharetz sharetz al aretz. But if I pick a cucumber and it's totally clean, and then after I pick it and I detach from the ground, it develops a worm, that's going to be mutter. Isn't that the answer between this dira? Says Marlo. No, they're both talking about where it's attached to v'habilana gufa. They're both talking about where it's attached to the ground. The difference is whether it's in the fruit or in the tree itself. That when we say that it's in the when the worm is found in the fruit, then it's mutter. When it's found in the branches, in the stem, then it's going to be asher. And dekanami, it's came out mefurish this way in the brisa that we quoted. Dekatani talas shebi ikare zesim v'shebi ikare gefanim. It didn't say a talas shebi zesim shebi gefanim is asher. It said a talas that you find in the ikare zesim, the ikare gefanim is asher. Shmami now, so we see that's really the chiluk. By Rav Yosef. Pirshu Mesamah, where if the worm stuck its head out of the fruit and then died before it crawled on the ground? Is that considered a sharetz or sharetz al aretz? Miktsasamah, what if it partially came out of the fruit? Or la avira olamahu, it came out into the avira olam, it came out from the pre talush la avir, and before it, meaning it was falling out of the kli, and before it hit the ground, you chop it with your mouth. You see the worm coming out of the kli, you're like, oh great, and you just shake it out of the apple, and you chop it with your mouth before it ever hits the ground. So what's the din in those cases? Teku, we don't know. By Ravashi, legag tamara mahu. What if it goes up to the top of the date? It crawls up from the date seed to the top of the date. Or legalgari nasa mahu. Or even if you can say that's a problem, what if it just goes to the top of the garin, which is where the worms grow? Mitamara l'tamara mahu. What if it goes from one date to another date? So teku. Now this whole idea of worms growing and becoming developed in fruits themselves obviously means that it goes from a microscopic point to a fruit doesn't make worms. There has to be some egg or something that develops into a worm. But it means that it goes from a microscopic state to a recognizable state while it's in the fruit. Amar Rav Sheshes Brei Dravidi Kukina'i Asiri. Kukina'i are aser. What are kukina'i? Kukiani rather. So there are worms that are found in the liver and the lung, Rashi says, of an animal. My time, why they aser? Me'alma aser. They come from the outside world. And they don't grow inside the animal. Maskar Vashi, me'alma. If they come from the outside world, then they should be found in the digestive tract, because it must mean that the animal ate them, and that's how it got inside of the animal. What's it doing in the liver and the lungs? So others say that he said that kukiani are mutter. My taima mine gavli. Why are they mutter? Because they grow from inside the animal. Amar Vashi Pshita, they has to be from inside the animal, not from the animal having eaten anything. Dime Almakas Lushtaklu Derech Besarei, because if it came from the animal eating something, it should have been found in the digestive tract. Vilksa Kukiani Asiri, but Allah is that they're Asir. My time, how could they be Asir if, after all, if the animal had eaten them, they really came from the outside, it should have been found in the digestive tract. Menim Nayim Va'ayli Lebu Usya. Now, when the animal sleeps, they crawl in through the animal's nostrils. Fine. When it comes to worms, darni de bisra asivi, the worms in meat are aser, de kavri sharian, but in fish are mutter. Amr Ravina lime, evil livana echel. Ravina saw his mother preparing fish, and it was wormy fish. He said, just mix it in real well so I don't see the worms, and then I'll eat it. Meaning, I don't hold this as a kashrus problem, I just hold it's a gross problem. So if I don't see it, then I won't be grossed out, it'll be fine. Amr Misharshi Bredrava achel Ravina, maishta meha detanya. Why is this different than the braisa that teaches us, nevasam tishaktu, lerabos has had darnim shebebehema? comes to include the worms that are inside the behema. So Amalei Hachiash, I mean, why should fish be any different? If by behema it's aser, it should be aser by fish also. Amalei Hachiash, and it's a faulty comparison. Behema b'shchitu hu d'mishtarya. By behema, what makes a behema mutter when you shecht it? But these worms, since shchita doesn't work for them, they remain usher as Aver Minachai. But by fish, all you need to do is to be osif the fish. You just need to gather them. There is no shchita. So these are, when you gather the fish there, you gather these animals, these little worms also. When the pasuk says that you're not allowed to eat a holich al gachon, that's a reference to a snake. Kol, the word kol in the pasuk is the rabos ha-shilshul v'sadom ha-shilshul, to include the earthworm and anything that's similar to an earthworm. Al-arba, when it says al-arba za'akrib, that's a scorpion, that's also in al-adith. And kol holech, the rabos ha-chipushis v'sadom ha-chipushis, to include a beetle and anything that's similar to a beetle. And marber aglayim zed nedal, that's a reference to a centipede. Ad kol the rabos ha-sadom v'sadom ha-dome, to include even things that are mildly similar to a centipede. They don't have to have near 100 legs, just more than 4. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi ben Drumiskas Omer, Levyasan, now we end with the Milsa Dagadata, Levyasan Dag Tohar, who the Levyasan happens to be a kosher fish, Shnemer Gava Afike Maganim Taktav Chadudi Cheresh, Afike Maganim Il Kashkashim Shabo, that's a reference to the scales, Taktav Chadudi Cheresh, Il Snapirin Shaparech, then that's a reference to the fins. Of course, the Achronim raised the question, what's the Havamina that it wouldn't be a kosher fish if a kosher Baruch is going to feed it to the Tzaddikim? Okay, something to think about. Mr. Shem, we start a new parak tomorrow.